I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and I'm joined, as always, by Brandy Blue-Haired Herman. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm well, Tim. How are you?
I'm outstanding. And, of course,
spectacular.
Spectacular. And also, we have with us today the distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, this weather got my rheumatism flaring up a little bit, but other than that, I'm doing good, Timmy. Thank you for asking.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Today's topic is Gregoria Rasputin. And tell us, Colonel, you know a little bit about Rasputin.
Well, I know. This used to be one of my kids' favorite stories.
Rasputin?
Rasputin, yeah. I used to talk to my kids, tell the story to my kids all the time.
Why would you tell your kids stories about Rasputin?
It's got the brave hero. It's got the beautiful girl locked in the tower with the long hair.
Oh, you dumbass. Not Rapunzel. Not Rapunzel.
No, it's not Rapunzel. Colonel.
No talking from you.
Hold on. I'm going to have to get some new notes. Who are we talking about here?
Now, we're talking about Gregoria Rasputin, and for those of you who are not familiar with the story, Rasputin, he was a little bit of everything, wouldn't you say, Brandy? He was a mystic, he was a drunk.
Well, he tried to be a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he was a holy man, he was a whoremonger, he was a homeless guy, but he had a gift of gab, and is a very interesting character in history, and would have just remained just your average, normal neighborhood mystic,
ne'er-do-well,
had it not been for him being introduced to the Tsar of Russia. So,
well,
Brandy.
And also, I might add, he had what was reported to be a 13-inch
tallywhacker. We'll get into his
13 inches? They got it in the jaw.
That's
in the museum.
They do. Okay.
Okay. So, but let's, all right. So let's start from the beginning. Brandy, let's go back to the mid-1800s.
Well, and a lot of this stuff I'm not going to be able to pronounce, so I'm just going to kind of do the best I can. But Gregory Rasputin was born the son of a well-to-do peasant and a coach driver.
How can you be a well-to-do?
A well-to-do peasant?
I don't know. I guess you're above-average peasant.
Does that mean you got shoes? What's that mean? Well-to-do peasant.
Maybe it means he had food. I don't know.
He's
doesn't matter.
Better
I'm
than
his,
the average peasant.
Well-to-do peasant.
So
was they snobby?
He was kind of a snob.
Did they look down on the other peasants?
Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't there.
We're sorry.
But
go
they
ahead.
Were out, well, you know, and I don't know how much they had to compare it to out in the West Siberian plain.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably...
Because you're kind of out in BFE.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of peasants out there.
What do you probably?
I don't know that there's a lot of people, peasants or otherwise, out there.
Yeah, but if there's people out there, they're probably peasants.
Well, sure.
Who would choose to live there?
They had
that's where you get exiled.
It's not like South Beach or something.
It's where you get exiled to,
exactly.
Siberia.
They had the good turnips. They had better turnips than other peasants.
Turnips?
Yeah, they did.
And better burlap clothes, you know, the burlap clothes.
Okay.
The peasants.
18, from holy sheets.
Yeah, from holy sheets. Yeah.
19th century Siberia. Go
so
ahead,
he was born on, it looks like he was born, there's a, it's hard to tell. He was born in 1869. They're not exactly sure of the date. But he was born to this peasant out in the Siberian plain. The parish register contains the following. The entry for the 9th of July in 1869 says the peasant of Yefim Rasputin and his wife, they're both Orthodox, was born a son, Grigori. The next day he was baptized and named after St. Gregory of Nyssa, and they had a feast on January 10th. So we're all very excited about that.
The peasants had a feast?
They had catering? They were well off.
These were well-to-do peasants.
They were well-to-do peasants. Yeah. Maybe they had pigs. I don't know. He was the fifth of nine children.
Ooh.
Well, only two survived, so they weren't good parents.
Well, things were probably pretty rough, I imagine.
Well, they're in Siberia, so yeah. I imagine so.
Yeah, the infant mortality rate was probably not very...
They had to eat three of them.
Grigori and his sister. He had a sister named Fedosaya.
Fedosaya.
Fedosaya. Can you say it any better now?
I didn't name the girl.
I didn't name her either.
But he had a sister.
What happened to Jenny? Why can't he just name the girl Jenny?
I don't know what happened to or Amy. I don't know. Yeah, they died.
Yeah.
They died.
They got eight.
So, but he never attended school. And according to a census done in 1897, almost everybody in the village was illiterate.
Yeah, he wasn't he didn't have any formal education. Right.
In his village, Rasputin was regarded as an outsider, but they believed he was endowed with mysterious gifts besides his tallywhacker.
Oh, he was endowed, all right. Yeah. He was endowed. That word got around quickly.
Now, his limbs jerked, he shuffled his feet, and he always kept his hands occupied. Despite his physical tics, he always commanded attention. Whatever's known about his childhood was passed down actually by his daughter Maria. So there's nothing written down because all these people were walking around illiterate. So my guess is he had Tourette's.
yeah, that's not what it sounded like to me.
My guess is he had Tourette's and whatever.
Yeah, so. And he said he didn't even like speak in complete sentences. He would just like throw nouns out or verbs, and I was reading that too. It was seemed really strange.
Yeah. So, but in 1887, he got married to a lovely young lady that I cannot say her name at all. It's a bunch of consonants there. Who was 3 years older than he was, and together they had three children, Dimitri, Vivara, and Maria. They had two other sons that died at a very young age. And 1892, Rasputin left his village. Left his wife, left his parents, left all his kids. He left the village. He spent several months in a monastery. I don't know where that is.
Was it Kiev?
No, it was not Kiev. I wish it was Kiev, because that would be much easier.
It was outside Kiev.
Sure.
Anytime you're in Russia, can't pronounce a city, say outside Kiev.
Okay. Somebody suggested that he do that after the death of a child, but the monastery was enlarged in those years to receive more pilgrims. Outside the monastery lived a hermit by the name of Brother Makary. Makary had this huge influence on Rasputin, which led to him giving up drinking and eating meat. When he arrived back home, he'd become a zealous convert. So he went to this monastery that it doesn't sound like it was a Christian monastery, found his religion and came back a zealot.
That's how he got the nickname the Mad Monk. They called him the Mad Monk.
Yeah, the Mad Monk.
Yeah. He claimed he had visions of Our Lady of Kazan, and that had turned him towards the life of a religious mystic. And around 1893, he traveled to Mount Athos. But he said he told Makary that he left shocked and profoundly disillusioned. Excuse me. By 1900, he was identified as a religious wanderer. And although he always went home to help his family with the sowing and the harvest, he was regarded as an elder. Or a holy fool, depending on who you ask, by any of his followers. Rasputin did not consider himself to be a starret. They were usually older and lived in seclusion and in silence, so it sounded like a monk for his religion.
Yeah, he was anything but a monk.
Yeah.
And he had the Tourette, so he couldn't be silent.
Yeah, but according to Baroness Sophie Boxhoveden...
Sure.
Yeah. He was getting there. He was this close.
Taking baby steps.
He was. So, he spoke a lot of time incomprehensibly. He had a Siberian dialect. He was very, very hard to understand. And, you know, it's said that he never produced a clear and understandable sentence. There was always something missing. The subject, the predicate, both. So he's just tossing words about.
Now, Timmy does that to us every once in a while, too.
Yeah. It's obvious that he did not preach or speak in public. But in 1902, private gatherings in his home had to be disbanded. So he was holding small meetings, but he wouldn't speak out to a large congregation.
He started getting a little following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's Jim Jones.
Kind
of. He's Jim Jones of the early 1900s. So in 1903, he did spend some time in Kiev, where he went to another monastery. He went to the Monastery of the Cave. yeah.
That could be a sponsor one day.
And there he attracted the attention of the bishop and members of the upper class. He then traveled to the capital to meet with John of Kronstadt and acquire donations for the construction of a village church. He arrived in 1905, and there's some discrepancies on the time if it was 1903 and 1905. But he carried an introduction to Ivan Stradowski, the rector of the theological facility. And he stayed with Alexander Nevsky Larva, where he met with a bunch of other people. And they were amazed by his memory and his psychological propensity.
Propensity?
No, it's another word. Persipicity. Persipicity. It's like I can't read.
Precipitation?
No.
Did your family come from those illiterate peasants?
I don't know. These are such big words, I told you. But anyway, he was invited by Milica of Montenegro and her sister Anastasia. There you go.
Anastasia.
Different one.
Not Anastasia Beaverhausen. They were both interested in Persian mysticism, spiritualism, and the occult. And in November of 1905... Milica presented Rasputin to Tsar Nicholas and his wife Alexandra.
Yeah, and this is, like I said, so...
It's kind of a turning point for him.
Yeah, because like I was saying earlier, here you have this homeless guy, basically homeless, wanderer, peasant. You were being generous to him. He was also known to drink and carouse and bang hookers. But he had the gift of gab.
Bang hookers. He was banging he was like a loose screen door. He was banging everything every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like he would be praying at the monastery, or he'd be praying, and then he'd leave the monastery and go right down the street to the brothel and sleep with hookers.
Because he had to sin to get redemption.
And I'm sure he'll get into that. But what it seemed to me reading through this was, he just stumbled onto stuff. Like, he didn't go looking.
He was kind of like Forrest Gump.
He was like the Forrest Gump of his time.
You know, he wasn't on a journey of enlightenment.
No, right.
He just went out. He stumbled upon this guy who said, hey, drink this Kool-Aid. And so now he's got his own Kool-Aid drinkers.
He's got his own followers. And people are looking to him for...
For no reason.
They're looking for him for answers, and he's basically, you know, he's got the gift of gab, and he talks a lot. And
that's correct.
He kind
of like the colonel. People look to him for guidance. And
he is like the colonel. But had that just been all of the story, then we wouldn't be doing a podcast about him.
No.
But what happened, as Brandy said, he was introduced to the Tsar of Russia, Tsar Nicholas II, November 1st, 1905. And at the time, the Tsar of Russia had complete control of the country. His whatever he said went, and he met
the Tsar. And in the Tsar's journal, the diary that he kept, he notes meeting Rasputin on November 1st, 1905. And he says, "Today we met a man of God."
Oh, good Lord.
So Rasputin, you know, he not only were these uneducated peasants, you know, turning to Rasputin, which you can kind of understand if they're, you know, out there, they don't know any better, but he had the Tsar fooled at from the very beginning. So the next 10 years, that was 1905, over the next 10 years, he kind of worms his way into getting close with the first family as an advisor, as a confidant, and as a healer. The Tsar and the Tsarina, especially the Tsarina, who was really interested in mysticism and the occult and religion, and she was fascinated with him. And the Tsar and Tsarina had five children. Four of them were girls. Of course, Anastasia being the most, probably the most famous. Mm-hmm. And their youngest was a little boy, Alexei. And Alexei was the heir to the throne. He was to replace, he would stand in line to replace the Tsar, Nicholas II. But he was hemophiliac. Hemophiliac, as you know, their blood doesn't clot, and that is, you know, that would be a serious condition today, but you're looking 1900, it was almost a death sentence.
Came from all the inbreeding they did.
Yeah, there was a lot of the inbreeding. The Tsarina was originally from Germany, and she was relatives with Queen Victoria. All these folks in the First World War, all these leaders were somehow related to Queen Victoria. Mm-hmm. The leader of Germany, the leader of Britain, and then Nicholas II. So there was a lot of inbreeding, and they think it was in Queen Victoria's family, the hemophilia. So their marriage, the Tsar and Tsarina, Alexandria is Tsarina's name. They were a real couple. They weren't just an arranged type of marriage. They really loved each other, and they really loved their kids. And like any parents that love their kids, they're naturally concerned about the health of their kids. Well, Alexei, being he was hemophiliac, they would call in doctors, and there just really wasn't much they could do for them. So out of desperation, they turned to Rasputin. And time and time again, whenever young Alexei would get sick and get, look like he was going to die, the doctors would give up, and Rasputin would come and say, you know, he would come and, you know, say some magic words or whatever, bless him or whatever the case would be, and sure enough, every time, Alexei would get better. Now, Brandy, you're a parent.
Yes.
So if you were in that situation where doctors couldn't help one of your kids, and this weirdo, even though he was a weirdo, would come along and say some magic words and help your son that was sick.
Yeah.
I would
totally let him.
Exactly. And that was the case with the Tsar and Tsarina.
And he made house calls because he lived there.
He lived there. Well, he got in tight with them. And they were kind of like, it was almost like they were a couple, because he would be tight with them, and then he'd screw up. He would, you know, whip out his tallywhacker in public, and there'd be a big scandal, and they'd send him away. And then a couple months later, Alexia would get sick, and they'd have to call for him again. And that went back and forth several times.
But there was also rumors that he was tossing one in the Tsarina.
Well, yeah, I'll get to that. So,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, there was rumors of that.
Can't
so anyway, the in 1912... Alexia got real sick. He had been out playing, and he had fallen, and he had a hematoma.
No, he couldn't get up.
He didn't have one of those little button-y things? Help me.
No,
help
he didn't. They actually had two he had two full-time guards that were just, their job was just to protect him from, you know, falling or whatever. But for whatever reason,
he screwed the pooch off.
Yeah, they failed him on this occasion. So he started to, he got real sick, and they really thought he was dying. Doctor said there's nothing more we can do. He was ministered to last rites. They prepared a statement to announce that the heir to the throne had died, and you know he's 8 years old. So the parents are at their they're at their wits' end. They're caring for him themselves. They had servants and things, but they were actually staying in him, and he was in terrible pain, screaming out. He knew he was dying. The kid knew he was dying. Out of desperation, the Tsarina sends a telegram to Rasputin, who was, you know, he had gotten some trouble, and they sent him away. So they sent a telegram to Rasputin in Siberia, and the next day he responded, and he said something to the effect that, don't worry, God has saw your tears, and the little boy will be okay. Just don't let the doctors bother him too much. So they said, okay, they told the doctors to leave him alone, and guess what happens?
He got better.
He gets better. The fever breaks. He's, you know, he's feeling better. He gets his strength back. He recovers. So now Rasputin is in. I mean, he is in like Flint.
Right.
So he becomes the very close confidant, advisor to the first couple. In 1914, the World War breaks out, and Rasputin, you know, he tells the Tsar, you know, let's not get involved with this. And now he's moved from becoming just a faith healer to they're actually using him like, you know.
He's like a political advisor.
Yeah, he's like an advisor now. They're asking him all kind of stuff. Well, at first, the people around the Tsar, the elite, they kind of liked him because he was this strange individual. He would do these really inappropriate things at state dinners. He would, you know, goose the guests and, you know, look at the women, you know, pull up the women's skirts, whatever. Just
it's kind of like when you invite the blue haired devil to your house.
Yeah,
you never
exactly.
know what you're going to get.
Not like that at all.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. But it was kind of, you know, it was kind of cute to them. Oh, look what the...
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the blue haired devil. Look what the little, crazy stuff.
Look what the little peasant is doing, you know. He doesn't know any better. But after a while, they started getting annoyed, especially when he was having real influence over the Tsar. Well, he told the Tsar not to get involved with the war, not to declare war on Germany, because he said, if you do, it will be the end of the dynasty, the end of the monarchy, and the whole family will be killed. But instead of listening to Rasputin, of course, Russia did get involved when Austria attacked Serbia, and then they declared war on Germany, and then the whole world war started. And things did not go well. The Tsar had hoped the war would have been over. It started in August 1914. He was hoping it to be over in December of 1914. By December 1914, they had lost 1.5 million soldiers in Russia. So it wasn't going well. People on the home front was getting upset. So the Tsar says, I'm going to rally the troops. I'm going to the front line myself. And all of his advisors says, no, you know, they told him, no, don't do that. The military folks, no, you need to stay here. You need to stay in the capital. But Rasputin says, yeah, go ahead. Give it a shot. That's a good idea.
See what happens.
And see what happens. So the Tsar goes off to the front, and that leaves in control of the government, Tsarina. Tsarina was from Germany originally. So here we are, Russia at war with Germany, and now the Tsarina is kind of handling the day-to-day functions of the government. And guess who her advisor is?
Rasputin,
this homeless soothsayer guy. It would be like, you know, Michelle and Barack Obama picking a guy up out of the park and taking him home and saying, hey, tell us, what should we do today? You know, what should be our policies toward Iran? I mean, that kind of thing. So anyway, there were rumors that the Tsarina and Rasputin was, as Chuck said, closer than, they had more than just a friendship, although I really haven't seen anything to
you know, that gives that much credence. But he was banging a lot of people.
Well, I think that's that was some tweets.
There were some letters. Yeah, there were some letters out there that seemed that they were a little bit closer, but than more than just friends. They refer to Rasputin in their letters together, the Tsarina and the Tsar, as our friend, in air quotes. So anyway, Rasputin's, because he was, the Tsar was listening to Rasputin and taking his advice. I got it kind of like, I don't know how you guys took it, but I took it like the Tsar was kind of neutral, but the Tsarina was kind of bought into him, and right. He was just trying to placate his wife.
Happy.
Yeah. So with the Tsarina and the capital kind of controlling things, things start to fall apart.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
People are pissed off. There's, crowds in the street demanding dissension and demanding that, you know, that they're calling for her head. They're calling for Rasputin's head. And the elite decide to take the matters in their own hands. And they decide that they're going to knock off Rasputin. And Charles is going to tell us about that.
I'm gonna get into that. First, though, we did skip over an important part of the show. We'd like to thank our sponsor today. It's South Bend Proctology.
South Bend Proctology.
What? Mm-hmm.
South Bend Proctology.
Okay.
Where they got skinny fingers and warm gloves.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's their claim to fame. South Bend Proctology. Thank you for sponsoring our show today.
Yes,
anybody
thank you
needs
much.
A checkup up there, go see them.
Checkup from the neck up.
Yeah, because they ain't nothing worse than a proctologist with the fat fingers, because they got to get elbow deep in there to get things checked out.
Is there lube? Do they use lube?
Oh, it's South Bend, absolutely. They give you extra. They don't cost you a dime extra either.
That's good to hear. All right, now back to Rasputin.
Back to Rasputin, the Russian love machine. Now, there are three guys who decide to take him out. You got the Grand Duke, Dimitri, and I'm just going to go with first names here.
That's fine.
Exactly.
It's easier to keep them straight.
We got to do some English names here. So
yeah, and plus, people don't care.
Right.
But you got the Grand Duke, Dimitri. You got Vladimir, who's just a noble. These are three noblemen. And then you got Prince Felix. Now, Prince Felix, he a prince, so, you know, he got a stake in this whole thing. So they devise a plan, and the key to the plan is Rasputin, he's just a horny devil. And Felix got a really, really hot wife, Irina. So Felix, he over about a month or so, becomes friends with Rasputin.
I just want to say that the colonel sometimes goes really into bizarre stories, but this bizarre story is actually true.
This is actually true.
This is the most fascinating part of the story.
So Felix mentioned it to Rasputin that they're going to have a little soiree at his house. And they invite him over.
So he's going to go and bang the Duke's wife.
That's the Rasputin's plan, yeah. Yeah, Rasputin's going to show up. And
he cannot.
Irina's going to be there.
Rasputin can't pass up any woman.
No, but these were some crafty devils put a plan together here. So Felix tells, now Rasputin has a guard around him all the time because he's feeling a little nervous at this time. So does Irina give him a guard? But the guard always leave by midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell him, we're going to come and pick you up after midnight.
Good
and
plan.
We're going to have a little party at our house. So about midnight, December 16th, 1916, they go pick him up. They take him back to Felix's house. They got some pastries and
wine and finger food.
Kinds of stuff. Now, there was a doctor there, Dr. Lazarevert.
Bombay.
Before Rasputin get there, he dump a bunch of cyanide potassium onto the pastries and into the wine. Just half of them.
So just the plan was to take him out by poison.
They were going
to
poison him. Yeah.
And Rasputin was a heavy drinker.
He was a heavy drinker. So Felix gets ads. It's just like a perfect plan. But it wasn't.
What happened?
Well, they're waiting for Irina, okay? Mm-hmm. Felix offers Rasputin some of the poison pastries, and Rasputin says, oh, no, no, they're too sweet. I don't like those things. And it's a one night that Rasputin decides to behave himself and not drink any wine.
Damn him.
Yeah. So Felix like, what the hell? So Felix run upstairs to talk to Vladimir and Dmitri because he don't know what to do now, you know. But then he walks back downstairs, and Rasputin had changed his mind. And he just munching down on these cyanide-laced pastries.
So back to plan A.
Back to plan A. He guzzling the cyanide wine. So Felix is like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and watch this. This is going to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits there. And he sits there some more. 2 hours later, he's still drinking the poison wine, eating the poison pastries. And the damn thing happened to
him. Nothing happening.
Nothing happened to him at all.
That's what would happen if I tried to kill somebody with poison.
He's just sitting there waiting from the drop.
I'm just waiting, and nothing is going on.
Nothing. Nothing. It's like...
He didn't even ask for an Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah. He wasn't even getting jittery from all the sugar in the pastries. I mean, he was... Nothing. So, now, Felix getting really worried again.
They're starting to panic at this point.
So he makes an excuse to go upstairs. Felix grab a gun from Dmitri. He go back downstairs. Now, Rasputin don't see Felix coming downstairs.
Right.
And he's looking at this this beautiful ebony cabinet. And Felix say to him, Grigory Imanov, you would do better to look at the crucifix and pray to it.
Really?
That's the Colonel Russian accent.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Grigory Imanov, you would do better to look at the crucifix and pray to it.
Basically saying, hey, look over there.
Yeah.
Right.
No, what he tell him is, your time over, yeah. Rasputin. And Felix raised the gun up, shot him in the back. Boom. Rasputin down.
Oh, he's got to be dead now.
Problem solved.
He's got to be dead now.
Yeah. So, now, there's a policeman, he heard a shot, and he goes over and wants to know if anything going on, and they tell him no, ain't nothing going on.
No, damn it.
Kind of like the night that the light went out in Georgia.
Yep.
They tell him it was probably just a car backfiring.
Yeah, problem.
So the policeman, he go back to his post. Now, now these guys, you know,
they're celebrating.
They go upstairs to celebrate.
Right.
They're going to have a party. Now this way you make your mistake, folks. Make sure the man dead before you celebrate the death, all right?
Especially if he's a confidant of the Tsar.
Yeah. Yeah, so they go upstairs where there ain't no poison food
right. To
have a party. Right. And about an hour later, Felix, you know, he feeling pretty drunk, feeling pretty good. He gonna go downstairs and take a look at him.
Yeah, just kind of kick the tires, make sure he's still dead.
And he noticed the body seemed kind of warm still. So he shake the body, no reaction. Felix start to turn away and then notice Rasputin left eye open up. Open up. He like dragging.
He crapped his pants or what happened.
Some bitch still alive. Now, I'll tell you what. One time, this happened to the colonel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, it didn't.
No, not the same thing, but pretty much the same thing.
It didn't, no.
I trying to get into my house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big old raccoon just standing in my doorway.
Yeah.
So I said, come on, this is my house. Shoot, Mr. Raccoon. He get up on his hind legs, show his teeth at me. I'm like, nah, we can't have that, Mr. Raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
So the colonel go back down around and go into the garage and come back, get him a baseball bat, and says, look here, Mr. Raccoon. I'm going to give you one more chance to get out of here. Get out of here.
Fair warning.
Yeah. Raccoon, you know how he got those little hands and stuff? He He may as well just flip the colonel the bird. He showed me his teeth again, back up on his hind legs, right in front of my screen door.
No respect.
Not a bit. Colonel crack him right in the head with a baseball bat.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've just lost all of our animal lovers, but...
No! He was a rabid raccoon. You gotta go. You gotta put him down.
Okay.
So, anyway, you know, it over. The raccoon done. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no problem. Except, you know what? This raccoon just took a baseball bat in the head and he ain't dead.
Well, I sort of like
he wrestling. Just stumbling around. So the colonel beat him a little bit.
This is not a good story.
I had to beat
story.
Some bitch for a little while.
We're losing listeners as
okay.
the story goes
back
on.
To the, but
not a great story.
I called this, after I was done with the raccoon, I had to call him Rasputin. Right. And throw him in the thing, because that's right. how tough this raccoon was. Right. Just like Rasputin.
Okay.
So anyway,
yeah.
Felix downstairs, he feeling around, Rasputin warm. All of a sudden, Rasputin spring to his feet and grab Felix around the neck.
He's kind of pissed now.
Oh, he's mad.
Felix probably thinks shit, little green men at that point.
Yeah.
Well, he struggles. He gets free. And he runs upstairs shouting, "He's still alive! He's still alive!" Now, Dimitri runs downstairs only to find that Rasputin...
Was he on the set of Gone with the Wind when he said that?
He find that Rasputin... Nah. What's Rasputin doing? He running across a yard.
I'm
going
to go tell the Tsar.
I'm telling the Tsarina what you folk did to me. And, so anyway.
You couldn't blame him, really.
No.
So Vladimir, he start running after him.
Wouldn't you just love to see that?
So he start running after him. He fires his gun. He misses.
Sure.
Fires again. Misses. But then he does what all good marksmen do, you know, to get yourself.
He actually there. Aims?
No, he bit himself on the hand. Bit down on his hand very hard to just calm his nose and get his concentration back.
Hmm.
Fires one, hits Rasputin right in the back. Rasputin drops to his knees. Vladimir walks up to him, puts one right in the back of his head.
Now that had to kill him.
Rasputin? Some bitch starts crawling across the yard. I mean, he crawling. After being poisoned and shot 3 times. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to mention that when he was laying down on the ground, when he went down there, for some reason, Felix got so mad while Rasputin in the house, he took a 2-pound dumbbell and beat the hell out of him over the head with it. So Rasputin got this pulpy head, his whole head. He's been shot in the head,
his pulpy
beaten
head.
The head. Yeah, it looked like raspberry jam coming out of his ears. But I'll be damned if he ain't crawling across the yard. So
it's like a cockroach.
He finally drop over.
He's got to be dead at this point.
Well, Vladimir come up and kick him in the head a couple times. And,
you got to make sure.
Yeah, you got to make sure. So they bind up his arms with, you know, rope and stuff, wrap him in a heavy cloth, and it's almost dawn. Now, they're getting worried because they got to get rid of his body. So Felix stays at home to clean himself up because I think when Rasputin jumped up in, I think he's mad.
I told you, shit, little
man. Has soiled right. himself, yeah. So
he may have soiled himself.
He cleaned himself up. The other two, they throw the body in the car. So they run off. They know where they're going to get rid of their body. It's part of the plan. So they throw the body over the bridge.
That was the plan, to throw it in the river.
Yeah. Now, the dumb son bitches, okay? Now, kids, if you're listening at home and you ever got to get rid of a body and you're going to throw it in the river, weigh it down. Weigh the body down, okay?
The river was frozen, wasn't it?
Yeah, they cut a hole in it.
Yeah.
They cut a hole in it.
A little lesson from your old Uncle Chuck.
Yeah. You got to do two things. You got to stab the body a bunch of times to puncture the organs or the gases build up and it floats to the top. And you got to weigh it down. And you got to weigh it down with chain that don't rust, because the chain rusts and all of a sudden the skeleton and flesh come off and there's the body and they're looking at you all of a sudden. You know, hopefully.
You know way too much about this.
You got to have concerns.
I watched the CSI.
All right.
Okay, I watched the CSI.
Well, apparently they didn't in Russia at the time have CSI.
No. But now remember, I want you to remember this. Rasputin, they got his arms and hands tied. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they throw him in a river. Mm-hmm. And so the next day, Rasputin don't show up. People getting a little suspicious. Well, about 3 days later, Rasputin didn't show up.
And, like and he was like a celebrity at this point. I mean, he was in all the tabloids. They had actually had tabloids during this time.
They
did. Was like he was in. It was you couldn't sell any newspapers unless you had a Rasputin story to sell.
Yeah, the Globe.
Yeah, the Globe.
Yeah, they had the it wasn't the National Enquirer. What was the it was
St. Petersburg Enquirer.
It was the
I don't know.
It was the Union Enquirer.
Yeah, something. Yeah, but, not the Nation, but the he Union. Was. He was, you know, he was always in the media, in the news, and when he didn't show up, people got suspicious.
Yeah. Now, we got to go back to this policeman because these guys is all drunk,
right?
And the policeman that originally, you know, came and checked on the shot, well, for whatever reason, before they dumped Vladimir's body, before they dumped Rasputin's body, Vladimir, the policeman originally told him, calls him back and tells him what they did. He tells him what they did. So, obviously, they the first suspects. But they ain't got a body, so they can't prove nothing.
And, you know, and this, you got to remember, Rasputin, I mean, he's the savior of this little boy, the Tsar's kid. So,
the Tsar is not happy at all.
Right, there's going to be hell to pay.
Not happy at all. Yeah, right. So there's an investigation. They show up at the house, and... they see blood all over, and
that would raise suspicion.
You would think.
Well, Felix tells him, "Oh, we shot a dog as a joke."
Dog.
Now,
joke.
First of all, what kind of hell joke is that? Shooting a dog?
It's not very funny.
Well, it ain't
very
too funny, damn funny at all. The colonel, he don't cotton to shooting no dogs.
You love animals. That's quite
which
clear.
Is obvious from his raccoon story.
Exactly. Well, I mean, unless they got the rabies, like the raccoon or Old Yeller or whatever. You got to put them down sometimes.
Yeller did not have rabies?
Old Yeller did.
It's so sad to hear that.
Arliss had to shoot him.
It made me cry at the end. Well, you didn't.
I didn't watch
What's wrong that. With you?
He didn't cry at Rudy either.
I stopped watching it after about 20 minutes.
What?
Oh. You ain't even... I don't even know if you're American. But anyway...
Tommy.
So, the Tsarina is informed, you know, that the investigation's open. There just ain't no body. Well, they find a bloody shoe by the bridge.
That's a clue.
Yeah. And then they go find another hole... because they didn't weigh the body down. They didn't poke the holes in the air things, in the lungs.
They thought it was going to float away to Finland or something, but...
Yeah.
It doesn't.
But here's the crazy part. When they pulled him out, the sumbitch had his hands untied. He was still alive when they threw his ass in the river. He drowned. You know what he died of? There was water in his lungs. He drowned. They shot him, poison, beat him, kicked him in the head, beat him with a dumbbell. The only thing they didn't do was drive a stake through his damn heart.
And if you want to see his picture the guy looks like he could be in Black Sabbath. I mean, he's got long black hair. He looks kind of mystic like. But they have a picture. If you go on the internet and Google him, you'll see the picture of him after he was shot, and he's got a bullet, clearly bullet right in his skull. I mean, half his head was blown off. Yet he somehow got out of this carpet that they had tied him up in and threw him in the river. He actually got out of that somehow and ended up drowning.
Well, they did an autopsy on him. Mm-hmm. Here's what they found. A bunch of alcohol in his system.
That helps.
Couldn't find the poison. Poison, apparently, he just immune to it. He liked the honey badger. The honey badger get bit by the...
this poison.
Yeah, the honey badger get bit by a cobra, he just go on. Rasputin, mm-hmm. he drink the cyanide. Rasputin, the honey badger of Russia, is what he is. My next year, my fantasy football team, they're going to be the Rasputins.
All right.
But, so anyway, this is what they find in autopsy. Three bullet wounds. The first one entered the chest to the left, hit in his stomach, liver. The second one hit his kidneys. And the third bullet entered his head, entered his brain. And he's still crawling across the yard. I mean, that's one. And you know what they found?
What?
Water in his lungs.
Water.
He drowned.
He drowned.
Rasputin drowned. Now, so they all know who did this. They can't really prove it because they ain't got the CSI or NCIS or FBI or whatever. They got the KGB, I suppose.
I don't think it was pre-KGB, but probably some form of it.
Some form. But they I'd imagine it was pretty inept. So the only thing we know, Felix, he got exiled. They didn't kill none of these guys. Dmitri, he got sent off to the war. And Vladimir, well, they don't really say. Now, you talk about looking up on the internet. If you do a Google search for Rasputin penis, you will see a jar.
Why would you do a Google search?
Please don't do it at work.
Don't do it at work. I will caution you to not do it at work. But there is a, it's, nobody can tell if this is true or not, but some say out of spite. Now, also, they, rumor has it that Felix and Dmitri were homosexuals.
Yeah, that there was a rumor that it wasn't really his wife that he was trying to hook him up with.
Right.
It was really him that he was.
Yeah, and
he was paying Rasputin to pleasure him.
Yeah,
that was one of the other rumors. But when it,
I don't know how much pleasure 13 inches. Well, but that's another story. But anyway, well, it's like Carl Panzer. Could
bring
you imagine poor Carl Panzer with
back.
The? Yeah. But anyway, they put it in. They chopped it off. And supposedly, later, a nurse or somebody found it in the house, and then they threw it in the jar.
Hanging
yeah,
around.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, somebody had hung their coat up on it, or was yeah. using it as a cane or whatever. I don't know.
But really, you should, if you don't look up his penis, definitely look up Rasputin, and just to see what he looks like, because he has these.
I'd say look up the penis
crazy
too.
Eyes.
He does have
like
crazy
that.
Eyes. His eyes, they were said to be... You can even see that through these old black and white photos, that his eyes are somewhat different. They said his eyes were wider than the normal person's eyes. And I've seen his eyes described as gray, as black, as blue, as green, and some multicolored. So, I mean, he has some screwed up eyes, so which probably plays into his whole mystic thing. But checking out on the internet...
He should have been in Twilight.
He could have
been a character in Twilight.
He could have been a character in Twilight. So Rasputin dies. Before he dies, you know, and he warns the first family, should anything happen to him,
it's always going to be bad news for them.
It's going to be bad news for the whole family. Within a year, he says, within a year of my death, the whole family will die. And mm-hmm. what happens within a year, Chuck?
They take them down to the cellar and they machine gun the hell out
the
of
Rosen,
them.
Yep.
Except for Anastasia, she escaped.
Well, we don't. Yeah, that's a mystery, but... The Tsar, the Tsarina, the three of the daughters anyway.
Did you watch the movie Anastasia?
The Disney one. The Disney one.
She escaped.
That's allegedly.
That's allegedly. We'll do a podcast on that some other time. So, okay. Any final words? So Rasputin goes through all that. He finally dies. The Tsar is overthrown, of course. The Communist Revolution happens. And that is the end of our podcast. Did you have any other thoughts, Colonel?
I ain't got nothing to say about this. But I mean, I said everything I could say. The only thing they didn't do is run him over with a car.
Yeah, and we didn't even go
set him
in.
On fire.
We didn't even go into. I mean, I skipped over because of time. But he was. There was an attempt assassination of him. Less than a year before that, where a lady came up to him, stabbed him, walking down the street, and he beat her away with a stick, and he almost died. So
I don't know that he even bled when the lady stabbed him.
Well, he said he bled. He lost a lot of blood, and he did an operation on him, but he survived that, and only to go through this. That's when he got the guard.
They gave him the guard. Yeah.
Brandy, what's your thoughts, final thoughts on Rasputin? Do you like Rasputin?
I admire the fact that he was able to just worm his way into...
Is that wild?
Into power.
Yeah.
Like, had power.
He had power, and he was an idiot... Who changed the course of history? Just, you know, like I said, if he was, you know, the colonel is known to embellish stories. I mean, it would be like the colonel going and, you know, sitting down with Vladimir Putin and Vladimir Putin saying, "Colonel, tell me what I should do about, you know, the Ukraine."
I'm not really sure how I feel about that, because I believe I could give Vladimir, what I tell him is get your ass out to Ukraine.
Well,
because it ain't doing nobody any good. You're just gonna, you know, you're gonna be there for the next 30 years, getting your ass shot off.
Well, but I mean, it'd be similar.
Vladimir wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah, Vladimir wouldn't listen to you. No. But Rasputin, a pretty interesting character. Any final thoughts before we wrap up another award-winning episode
of History Dweebs.
Thank you for listening. That's all I can say. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the nice emails.
Check us out on
Facebook, History Dweebs. Check out our webpage, historydweeb.com. I'm going to be on the Jimmy Fallon show sometime next month.
Not really.
I'll give you the dates on the next podcast.
But please do, because I want to catch that.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we get on that.
The blue-haired devil going to get... We got to call it a yellow-haired devil now.
It's starting to fade.
It's fading out.
It is, but, you know...
Oh, that's some blue when you do that. Oh, that's what we call it, a gray.
I really get two questions from people who listen to the podcast. One, of course, is... is the colonel really retarded? And I don't address that.
Well, you can't really say for sure.
Right. And then the other is, do you really have blue hair? And she does.
I do.
She does have blue hair.
Now, we just went through some training about sensitivity, and I'm calling people retarded.
Well, I didn't call you retarded. I said I get to ask that question. I was merely quoting,
saying that would be learning impaired or
but not hearing impaired,
hearing impaired or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I would say I tell them that you're a very nice person whenever they ask that question. Okay, that's all for this time. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.